On July 29th, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, released its 2020 proposed changes to the hospital outpatient prospective payment system and the ambulatory surgery center payment system. On this episode of the ASC podcast with John Gailey, we discuss highlights of the proposed rule. CPT codes and descriptions are the copyright of the American Medical Association. All rights are reserved.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource their regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys.
Welcome to episode 62 of the ASC podcast with John Gailey for August 6, 2019. We're recording on vacation from the island of Aruba. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS. I'm here with John Gailey, the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies and one of the leading experts in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry, and the author and co-author of over 10 books about the ASC industry, including the Survey Guide for ASCs. John speaks frequently at both national and state ASC meetings on a wide variety of topics. So as I said, we're on vacation. Beautiful, beautiful island of Aruba.
We're having a lot of fun here. Of course, not today as we're recording necessarily. So
we enjoy doing the recording.
So we're at the Marriott Surf Club Resort down here, and they're treating us very well. And unfortunately, we are still working while we're on vacation, though that is the joy of our business. We can pretty much work from anywhere.
Yep, it allows us to stay in lots of beautiful places and just get some work done.
That's right.
And we celebrated your birthday yesterday. Our staff decided to surprise you.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call that a surprise. It was a little bit of a horror. They called me up, Alex called me up and said, John, we have an emergency. I have to patch you in with everybody else. And then they proceeded to sing me happy birthday, which was kind of a disaster. So,
But it was a wonderful thought.
That was a wonderful thought, certainly. So we are working from a temporary studio here with our backup microphones and a backup board. So I'm hoping the quality is okay.
Yes.
And I remembered.
We had to get creative, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. I always bring double of everything. So I had double microphones. I have double boards just in case anything breaks. What I forgot to bring was the microphone stands.
Yes. But I can think outside the box.
You
so
did.
I have a paper towel holder thing with my microphone shoved in the top.
Right. And I happen to find a little camera tripod, which I have retrofitted not so prettily for my microphone stand. But yes, we do have some points for originality here, certainly. So, yes, we're enjoying our time here, and we still have another 5 days. So, but we had to get this episode out because CMS released on July 29th the new rates and regulations for 2020. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and we'll continue that discussion with our next episode also. Uh-huh. Sue, I did want to kind of point out something that's come up a couple times among our clients here, and that is ACLS and BLS training. I know that there are a number of options out there right now for doing BLS and ACLS training online, and that is not permissible. You have to have training that includes hands-on training, and that is a 888C requirement. It is also expected from the other accrediting organizations, and certainly anybody that has deemed status is going to be required. So be very careful about accepting any ACLS or BLS training from either your physicians or your staff that has been done online. It needs to be in person. So, Sue, do you want to give us an update on news from the industry?
Well, the biggest news, as you mentioned, is that CMS released the 2020 payment rules on July 29th. It was later than we expected.
Much so. It usually comes out very close to the first, and this was 29 days in. I was talking to Bill Prentice last week, and he said that we were all a little bit concerned that it was so late, because usually when it's late, that means that there are some big surprises in there. But it really, overall, there were no huge issues with the new rates and the new regulations, but we'll talk about that in depth next.
Okay. Something else I wanted to mention is the federal court dismissed more than 5,000 lawsuits concerning the Bear Hugger, 3M's patient warming system. Probably most of you know that Bear Hugger keeps patients warm during surgery by circulating warm air around the patient through holes that are in the material aimed at the body. It's meant to reduce bleeding and recovery time and keep patients comfortable in the cooler surgery suites. Some of the concerns that people have brought up are infections caused by the movement of the air, blowing around particles or bacteria, and there have been claims of burns. As I said, the court has dismissed the lawsuits. I couldn't really find too much that would lead me one way or the other. The FDA, a couple of years ago, you know, said they had no concerns about it. So I really can't give recommendations, but I think it's something for people to just be aware of. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to be doing more studies.
Well, I think the important takeaway is that if you are using the Bear Hugger system, mm-hmm. there is really no need at this point to discontinue using it.
Yeah, there haven't been any strong recommendations that way.
Right. But do definitely keep an eye on it to avoid any of the problems that have been mentioned that can potentially occur. Mm-hmm.
So it's National ASC Month. Used to just be a week, but ASCA has decided to make it a full month due to the number of local and federal legislators who are visiting ASCs to learn more about the industry. So we mentioned before, I think on our last podcast, ASCA has some promotional and educational material to print out for your community or elected officials, and they're just encouraging you to help spread the news about the benefits that ASCs provide.
So for more information, go up to ASCAssociation.org, and all that information is available whether you're a member or not. So let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about the 2020 regulations.
On July 29th, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, released the annual proposed changes to the Hospital Outpatient Prospective Payment System, or OPPS, and the Ambulatory Surgery Center, ASC, payment system for payment year of 2020. In episode 60 of the ASC podcast with John Gailey for July 17th, John described how the annual CMS rate setting for hospital outpatient and ASCs works. Today, we will review some specifics of the 2020 rule. In our next episode, we'll go into even more depth on certain procedures.
So, fortunately, Sue, there weren't a lot of major changes in this year's rate setting. Unlike last year, where we had quite a number of changes, especially to the Medicare quality reporting, there's been relatively minor changes this year across the board. So, CMS has proposed to add only 8 codes to the ASC payable list, kind of following up with what's been happening. They're actually adding very few codes every year to it. Most notably is probably total knee arthroplasty. CMS also proposed to continue to align the ASC update factor with that used by the HOPD payments. So you might remember that the ASC Association tried to move the payment increases away from the CPI index, which was used in the beginning years from 2008 until last year, to update the ASC payments. And then last year, they changed it to the same system that is used for the hospitals, which is the hospital market basket, which gives us a much fairer number or increase compared to, you know, we know that hospital and healthcare costs are going up higher than the CPI is for urban customers or consumers. So CMS would continue to use the hospital market basket to update the ASC payments for calendar year 2020 through calendar year 2023, as CMS continues to assess the policy's impact on volume migration. If the proposed rule were to be finalized as it's been drafted, ASCs would see on an average an increase of 2.7%, which is the exact same rate, of course, that the hospitals are getting. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, this doesn't mean that all of our Medicare rates are going to go up by 2.7%, only that the average increase is going to go up 2.7%. I know this is kind of complex, and I'll try to make it as simple as possible, but basically every year, all of the CPT codes, all of the rates are realigned or reassessed based upon the intensity of the care that is provided across the board.
So some may go up and some may go down?
Correct. And that is based upon reweighting that comes out of the hospital cost reports. We've talked about this in the past, that ASCs are fortunate in that we're not required to file a cost report. Hospitals do, and the hospital cost reports are used as a basis for reweighting all of these CPTs. So that explains why the rates will differ. And as we go into a little bit later, you're going to see that some of the rates are going up, some of them are going down, and depending upon the specialty that you're in. Now, CMS is proposing to add 8 codes to the ASC payable list in 2020, and these codes are, and these are all CPT codes, by the way, and we also have to remember that CPT is a copyright of the American Medical Association. So the first one is 27447, which is total knee arthroplasty, as we talked about earlier. 29867, which is an allograft implant knee with scope. And now we're getting into those 90,000 codes that started last year. These are all cardiac codes. You might remember they started bringing codes on last year. So we have a bunch of those. 92920, which is percutaneous transluminal coronary angioplasty with single major coronary artery or branch. 92921, which is percutaneous transluminal coronary angioplasty for an additional artery. 92928, which is percutaneous cardiac stent with angioplasty on one vessel. 92929, which is a percutaneous cardiac stent with angioplasty for each additional vessel. And then we have C9600, which is a percutaneous transcatheter placement of drug-eluting intracoronary stents with coronary angioplasty when performed, single major coronary artery or branch. C9601, which is percutaneous transcatheter placement of drug-eluting intracoronary stents with coronary angioplasty when performed. And you would list this separately in addition to the code for the primary procedure. Now, I just want to give a couple of the rates for some of those. The 27447, then total knee arthroplasty, is listed at $8,639.97. Now, I should point out that that is the national rate. That's going to be adjusted based upon your region, wherever you are located. So if you're in an urban area, for example, usually those rates will be higher. If you're in a rural area, those numbers are going to be lower than that number. So again, 27447, the arthroplasty is $8,639.97. The allograft implant knee with scope, which is 29867, is $8,517.88. The percutaneous cardiac angioplasty with one artery, 92920, is $2,125.56. 92928, which is a percutaneous cardiac stent with angioplasty on the first vessel, is $6,081.02. And C9600, which is the percutaneous drug coronary stent, a single vessel, is $6,203.47. So those rates are actually pretty good. Obviously, there's some significant costs involved in all of those, but I think that this is a continuing effort on the part of CMS to start, especially to start moving some of these cardiac procedures into the ASC setting. Interestingly, also, CMS proposed to remove 27130, which is total hip arthroplasty, off of the inpatient only list for 2020. Now, that doesn't affect us in the ASC side, but if it's finalized, this proposal would allow the procedure to be performed in the hospital outpatient setting, and this could be a precursor to moving it into an ASC. So if it can be done in an outpatient, you know, center at a hospital, I don't know why it couldn't be done in an ASC setting. So that's why we tend to keep an eye on these things that are moving out of the inpatient-only list.
Following those trends. And for Medicare quality reporting, CMS proposed to adopt ASC 19, facility-level 7-day hospital visits after general surgery procedures performed at ambulatory surgical centers for 2024 payment determinations and beyond.
Right. So this is actually going to be reported by the hospitals directly to CMS. So what's important for us to understand here is that this is not something that we have to report, but we should certainly make sure we make every effort possible to know when a patient of ours has gone into the hospital within 7 days afterwards. So we've instructed all of our staff to make this a regular part of our quality reporting measures that we do, which for the most part, we have done that. Most of our clients have done it, but the standard in the past is 10 to have been like 72 hours. So now I think we really want to make sure that we go all the way out to 7 days.
It can be difficult, though, because we do our follow-up calls, but that's usually within a day or two after
hours.
And then if there's any issues, you might follow up beyond that. But if you don't know there's an issue, if you're not the primary care doctor, it can be hard to find out.
It's even tough for 72 hours, to be honest. And you're right. If the patient has been admitted and the primary care doctor is the only one that was informed of it, it could be very difficult for us to find this out. So I think it's important for us to kind of notify our patients when they are discharged. You know, listen, if you're hospitalized within a week afterwards, you know, please give us a call just so we know what happened. We want to make sure that, you know, we're maintaining a continuity of care between our caregivers here and any other caregivers that you might have. So do whatever we can, or have that conversation in the post-op phone call. Now, I guess it would be kind of weird to say, hey, by the way, if you go to the hospital afterwards, don't forget to tell us.
It's a little bit, but I like
second thought, maybe not.
But no, talking about continuity of care, I think, can, you know, because maybe it has nothing to do with the procedure they had, but it might be important for the doctor to know
that they just had procedure.
They had this procedure.
Correct.
You know, it always does come down to patient education.
Absolutely. So in addition, again, talking about quality reporting, CMS is requesting comments on the potential future online data submission for the suspended measures. You might remember last year, they suspended ASC 1 through 4. ASC 1 is a patient burn. ASC 2 is a patient fall. ASC 3 is all the wrongs, the wrong side, wrong site, wrong patient, wrong procedure, wrong implant. And ASC 4, which is the all-cause hospital admission or transfer. So those are all measures that had been reported through the claims process and was suspended last year. And I think the ASC industry was kind of, I think for the most part, we were a little disappointed that they suspended these measures because we do very well on these measures. And we'd like to be compared against, you know, like the hospitals or each other, just to show that, you know, we're doing a very good job of not having significant problems in this area. So CMS is looking for some feedback on it, and I believe that they're considering an online submission tool, like, for example, through QualityNet, which is the other mechanism that they use for reporting quality measures, as opposed to the current claims-based system. So if you have any feelings one way or the other about it, you know, you should probably provide feedback as part of the CMS feedback mechanism here. Yep. New technology IOLs. I can't actually remember the last time we had any new technology IOLs issued. So this, you know, back when I first started out in the industry, NT-IOLs would get reimbursed an additional $50 in addition to the facility reimbursement, which is $150. And that was trying to encourage lens makers to come up with even better, you know, new technology lenses and give them $50 kind of bonus reimbursement for that period of time when it was still relatively new. So CMS reports that there were no new applications submitted by ophthalmic manufacturers, so therefore there are no new NT-IOLs for 2020. So let's go into a couple of the various rates that have been impacted and the increase or changes that have occurred this year. So on the cataract side, 66984, cataract surgery with one stage, that's gone up 3.6%, which is nice news, from $977.33 to $1,012.55. And our famous after-cataract laser surgery, the AG laser, which is 66821, went up from $255.60 to $258.75, which is a 1.23% increase. So that's actually pretty good news for an industry that kind of dominates or has some of the largest numbers of procedures that are done in the ASC setting. I think it's kind of interesting, the AG procedures, which are kind of fading out now, well, actually, there's not a lot of them being performed compared to what we used to have back in the 90s and the 2000s, they really, as a result of some of these fancier lenses that we're putting in, there doesn't tend to be as much YAG laser procedures performed afterwards. And of course, these are procedures that can be easily done in the office also, thus, you know, saving the patient some money on the copay. So I think it's still nice that we are getting reimbursed in the ASC setting, and certainly it's convenient for a cataract surgeon to do a couple YAGs in between his cataract procedures, just much more efficient. In the GI side, the reimbursement rates have only been about, they're actually less than about 1% increase this year. The colonoscopies are up about 0.76%. That's, you know, like 45380, 45385. The EGD biopsy, 43239, has gone up 0.94% from $392 to $395. So not significant change there. In orthopedics, the knee arthroscopies are going up about 2.14% to about $1,283. And shoulder arthroscopy also went up 2.14% to the same number, $1,283.68. Rotator cuff has gone up 1.7% to $2,790.88. In the pain area, reimbursement increases have been relatively modest, only about 1.92% for general injections. I didn't look at all of them, but those are the ones that I looked at so far. They're all at 1.92%. So in podiatry, 28291, which is a correction of the hallux rigidus with an implant, went from $4,001 to $4,325, which is about an 8% increase. So very nice. The correction of Hallux valgus 28295 has gone up 2.14% to $1,283. So we'll go into a little bit more detail in the next episode with some of those procedures. And Sue, I'm going to do a comparison, just like I did last year, between the 2019 rates and the 2020 rates.
Okay.
And we'll post that on our webpage, but that won't be available until our next episode in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Let's take a break and come back, and we'll talk about some of the upcoming events in the ASC industry.
So let's talk about some upcoming events in the ASC industry.
So every episode, we'll inform you of upcoming events. If you would like your event to be included in the podcast, please send the event information to info@ascpodcast.com.
The ASC Podcast with John Gailey is available to support your ASC association. John is available to speak, and we can record a podcast from your meeting.
So the next ASC Association webinar is on August 20th at 1 p.m., and that's called Lower the High Cost of Collecting from the New Payer, the Patient.
The Georgia State ASC Association and the South Carolina State Association joint semi-annual meeting is August 15th through 16th at the DeSoto in Savannah, Georgia.
The California Ambulatory Surgery Association annual meeting is going to be September 4th through 6th, 2019 in Monterey Bay, California. And Sue and I will be there, and we'll be recording a special podcast from that location also.
The Surgery Center Compliance meeting will be September 23rd and 24th in Newark, New Jersey.
The Michigan ASC Association, or MASA, annual meeting will be at Mackinac Island on September 26th through 27th.
The Tennessee ASC Association's Fall Conference and Trade Show is September 26th through the 27th at the Hilton Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee.
The South Carolina ASC Association Infection Control Seminar is going to be in Columbia, South Carolina, October 5th, 2019.
The South Carolina Ambulatory Surgery Association's fourth quarter membership meeting is in Columbia, South Carolina on October 8th, 2019.
The Indiana Federation of ASC's Fall Conference and Trade Show is October 18th, 2019 at the 502 East Event Center in Carmel, Indiana.
The New York Metro ASC and Healthcare Management Symposium is November 1st at the Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square.
And 5 days later, the New York State Association of ASC's Fall Conference is going to be in Tarrytown, New York. That's going to be in November 6th and 7th. And we will also be recording, as we do all New York State Association meetings, from the podcast and doing a special episode there.
The Washington ASC Association's 2019 Annual Education Conference and Trade Show is November 14th and 15th at the Tulalip Resort and Spa in Tulalip, Washington.
Well, that's it for this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. Join us again in a few weeks, and please spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues, and do us the honor of hitting the subscribe button.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including The Survey Guide for ASCs, A Guide to the CMS Conditions for Coverage and Interpretive Guidelines for Ambulatory Surgery Centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.